This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It is the postseason. We're here. Let the madness begin. Well, the appetizer for the madness. It's conference tournament week on the men's basketball side, and we are geared up and ready to go here on Sports Daily. We'll get you all set for the Big 12 tournament. We'll get you all set for the AAC tournament today. Jacob Albrock here, Tommy Caster alongside me. Max Powers in producing. He's got the phone line here on KFH at 869-1240. You can also reach out to us on our video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, we're all of those places. And, of course, on the Odyssey app at kfhradio.com. Thank you for listening to us here. We'll give away a little HTO today. Happy to do that. We have that for you. All kinds of good stuff. It was also a wild and crazy NFL weekend. Just massive news after massive news, and a lot of it pertains to the Chiefs. So we will get to all of that today as well. We have Wyatt Thompson in joining us, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, as they are the first up during conference tournament week. They'll play tomorrow night, so we'll get you all prepped and ready for their game tomorrow. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to see you. Happy Monday. A lot to get into today. You and I were texting back and forth last night. You mentioned all the NFL moves and everything. I can't keep up. There's been so much that has happened. I'm having a hard time keeping track of it all, but we'll dive into all of it today.
Ah, man. Yeah. It's how's the time change doing for you?
I was good until my alarm went off this morning and it was pitch black outside. Everything was fine. And then I forgot that it's, you know, not sunrise yet. It will be soon, but I was getting used to like getting up and driving into work and the sun was coming up and it was like feeling nice and I'm feeling motivated, energized, all of that. And then I drive into work and it's like pitch black outside. So I'll get used to it. But other than that, I'm good.
I'm team this time change, right? I'm on this side of it. I like
sure.
the sunlight at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes a bit of adjustment, especially as we move to some earlier hours here. I'm like, oh, that's pretty. I actually forgot about it. I actually totally forgot about it Sunday. And I'm looking, I'm like, there is no way. It's whatever time it was on my phone. I was like 8:45. What? And then I realized what had happened. Maybe the first time I can in my adult life, I just absolutely totally forgot about it. Didn't even think about it. Actually, I have a great daylight savings time joke, Tommy.
Oh, great! I'm looking forward to it.
But I'll tell you in an hour.
Oh, okay, sounds good. Yeah, you've got to. That's not even worth. Yeah, Max looked at hitting the. you know, the drums there and then decided that it wasn't even worth it.
Well, I don't appreciate that in the new time zone. Let's get back on our toes here. I know it's really technically 6:05 if you're listening to us on the first portion of the program. Or you know, 9:05 feels a little earlier than it normally does. So I hope everybody is adjusting appropriately. Great day yesterday at Odyssey Day here representing at the Wichita State game. That was fun. Not the outcome, certainly, that we wanted for the Shockers. And we'll get into that as we get ready to preview their tournament. But it was the energy's sort of back at Coke Arena. And I've thought that the last couple of times I've been there. So that was good. That was fun. How was the caster weekend?
It was good. What did I do? I went out and played a little golf yesterday. I hit the range yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So went out and did that. You know, feel like you got to kind of work on the game a little bit now that the weather's getting a little bit warmer. So I got to spend some time doing that. So that was good. Saturday, we went to Exploration Place, took the kids out there to the new exhibit, which is all about sharks. So we got a chance to go and enjoy that. I had an early birthday dinner last night out at Kobe Steakhouse with my in-laws. So we went and did that last night as well. So it was a good weekend overall.
When you have a birthday coming soon. When is yours?
I do. It's on Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Happy early birthday when I inevitably forget to tell you that on Wednesday. I've got one later this month, too. Mine's a more daunting one.
It is. You're changing the first digit of the number of your age. I'm not. I still have one more year to go. So you've got a little bit more at stake than I do.
I got to figure out what I'm doing for that. It's one of those things where it's like, do you go do like a rager, or do you realize what age you're turning and, you know,
are you getting a 40th birthday party? Like, is somebody throwing that for you?
No, my wife? No, absolutely.
Why
not? I'll be throwing that for myself.
Wait a second. Didn't she get a 40th birthday party?
She got like
four 40th birthday party, and you're not getting one?
No, I'll be coming up with something here. That's how it rolls.
You have to plan your own 40th birthday party?
I believe that's correct. Yes. Huh. Yeah. Unless there's a surprise one I don't know about, but we'll figure something out. It'll be good. So this month of birthdays, it's a month of postseason basketball. Like, we're going tomorrow. K-State opens it up. We'll talk to Wyatt Thompson in just a second. But K-State opens it up against Arizona State. Here we go. And we're off, right? And then KU plays on Wednesday. We get the Shockers getting underway on, I believe their first game is Thursday, correct? Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah.
And they'll play South Florida. So they get through, but their path is to Memphis, right? They're on the path to Memphis. The Big 12 tournament bracket, as we get that one laid out, KU and K-State, look, they'd have to play each other, but they both avoid Houston. And I think that's a win. I think if you look at it, that's where you don't want to be if you're in the Big 12 tournament. I don't think it's quite as clear in the AAC. I don't know that, Memphis has been good, but Memphis is gettable. So I think you're probably okay. It doesn't really matter in the AAC, but it'll be fun, and we'll see if all three of these teams can take their shot. And I think they can still. K-State's not playing at that level. We'll ask Wyatt Thompson in a second, but KU and Wichita State, we'll get into the Shockers yesterday. Very disappointing second half for them, but we this is what you want, right? Chip and chair, KU will get in. Wichita State and K-State have got to play their basketball for a week here.
Well, and I also thought, and I know we'll talk about it later on in the show, I also thought that the Jayhawks looked impressive on senior day inside Allen Fieldhouse. Out of the three teams that we follow this weekend, KU by far looked the most impressive. The only one out of the three to win, but against a top 25 Arizona team, which I'm not sure that there were a ton of people out there that were overly optimistic that they would get the win. I think that on senior day in Allen Fieldhouse, all the tradition and history and everything lended itself to people, I think, believing that they could probably win this game out of the three top 25 matchups that they had to close out the regular season. That one was probably the most likely. But they hadn't been playing very impressive lately, for sure. That's an understatement. But I thought that they looked really good. The starters looked really good. The big three looked really good. Dickinson had his best game as a Jayhawk. I think that gives you a little bit of a boost going into the conference tournament. So, all three teams, of course, have a path. I thought it was interesting for Kansas. They needed Houston to beat Baylor on Saturday to avoid Baylor in the Big 12 tournament, at least to get to the Big 12 championship. And they were able to get that. Houston beat Baylor by, I think, four on Saturday night to be able to lock KU into the sixth seed overall in the Big 12 tournament. So overall, yeah, you feel pretty good about that going into this week.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll get into the Big 12 tournament. We'll dig into all the college basketball that happened over the weekend. We'll talk Cats next, though. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joins Sports Daily.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. Especially today on the time change. Still very getting used to that. Everybody is. We appreciate Wyatt Thompson hopping up early with us this morning ahead of a trip down. Well, over, I should say, to Kansas City. Wyatt, it's Big 12. It's postseason week. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. I've had a little coffee myself. I feel good about that. I haven't been really affected by the time change yet. Have you guys?
This is the first one I was telling Tom. I actually forgot about it yesterday.
Did you?
So it surprised me. So I don't know that I'm fully prepared. It takes a day. I've got my kids upstairs getting ready and everything, and they're zombies this morning. Like, what's happening? It's dark outside. I'm like, I know, guys, it'll take a day. But it's worth it. I promise we can all go play outside longer. Wyatt, it was not a good senior day for the Cats. Not a good performance, quite frankly. You got to wash your hands of it real quick, though. We think they'll be healthy at minimum going into the tournament, right? Which is, you know, as of the last couple weeks, kind of priority one, be healthy going into the tournament. Now they have to play much, much better.
Well, they do. They did not play well Saturday. There's no question about that. They turned the ball over 17 times, shot 35% in the first half. I didn't feel like they had enough energy at the beginning, and Iowa State, give them credit. They made them pay. They started what I would describe as very aggressive. They went right towards K-State's big guys in the middle with the ball, with their bigs, and it made a big difference, I think. They got their guys off quickly, but they also made shots. And when they do that, they're hard to beat. I thought Curtis Jones was great. He had 24 points, had 11 of those at the free throw line. And just, you know, I've said it a million times this year, K-State has been up and down. They've been inconsistent, whatever you want to say. And they're their best when everybody is doing their part. And they didn't have enough guys doing their part on Saturday.
You know, I thought it was interesting, Wyatt, that K-State averaged under a point per possession in the game on Saturday. Was that a combination of things, or can you point at something, you know, specifically? Was it Iowa State really limiting the opportunities, or did K-State just have a really bad day shooting?
Well, I think in fairness, it's probably a little of both. I would not want to, you know, take anything away from Iowa State's defensive effort because I thought it was pretty good. But with that said, I'm not going to kid you. I think if you go back and you watch, especially in the first half, K-State had some good looks. and they just didn't make shots. The one thing I didn't mention, or a couple of things that I didn't mention a while ago, those 17 turnovers equates into a 22-6 advantage points off turnovers for Iowa State. That gets you beat every day, okay? And if that doesn't get you beat, going 2-for-21 from the three-point line will. And I think K-State, I've said this a lot this year too, when K-State is just settling for threes, they're not a real good offensive basketball team. And I thought that was part of it too, Tommy, honestly.
And they'll have to shoot threes to make the kind of run they're going to have to make. I think, you know, that's such a big part of when their offense is clicking at its full strength. And we have what it was a two and a half week stretch where we did see K-State play its best basketball. They hit threes when they were playing that way and they didn't turn the ball over much. So it gets all there for them. Arizona State is up first in the tournament. That's an interesting matchup. It's a team they split with this year. How do you feel about the matchup, though, between those two teams? Because it was a very tight win for K-State the first time they played, and then a little more lopsided when Arizona State played him back. But we didn't – Hawkins was out for that game or
yeah, – That was yeah. the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an interesting Arizona State team because it would be easy to say they've lost four straight and 10 of 11, and they're the best draw in the first day. That might all be true, right? Two-thirds of it's for sure true. Don't know if they're – but the thing that scares you is their ability, right? They have not played recently without Jaden Quaintance, who has not played since the K-State game here in Manhattan when they were pretty dominant. Secondarily, B.J. Freeman, that was the day going into the game here that he was removed from the team. Those are two pretty big pieces. The other night, they're at home against Texas Tech, and Adam Miller doesn't play. And I'll be honest, I haven't looked at that back this morning, and I will, but I don't know if that's discipline, whether he was hurt, whether he'll be back, you know, for the game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock or not. So they're playing shorthanded. I have to also add, though, that Josan Sanin has played pretty well lately, getting more minutes. We're seeing more of Trevor Best, who was a kid that reclassified. Yes, he's just a freshman, but he had a ball game here lately where he scored 18 points. So they're capable. They just haven't won games. And the truth is, in my opinion, I don't think they have a heck of a lot of discipline or confidence right now. And maybe that's a great thing for K-State. We'll see. Because if you get by this one, then you got Baylor and then a potential matchup with Texas Tech.
Wyatt, we've got to talk about the elephant in the room. Coleman Hawkins on Friday revealed that he's dealing with a more significant injury than I think what everybody thought. I mean, the guy's got a fractured tibia, and he's played more than 30 minutes in back-to-back games. There was that moment in the game on Saturday where in the second half he went down to the floor, grabbing his leg, all of that. I mean, you can't question his toughness, but obviously – you know, when we look at the front court, obviously David Gasson has been just consistent and really, really good. But there's not a whole lot of depth there for Kansas State. And I know that Hawkins wants to show his toughness and doesn't want to miss out on the postseason and all of that. It's a difficult position, I would think, that Jerome Tang is in going into the conference tournament, knowing the injury that Hawkins has.
Yeah, and I to be honest, I've probably known more about the severity of it a little bit longer than some. And Coleman hasn't really made a big secret of it. I mean, he took a pretty good shot to the knee and he has a deep bone bruise there, but there was a small fracture. And I think if I'm being honest, I think Coach Tang gave him the option to just say, I'm done. I'm good. I'm going to get ready for, you know, professional basketball. Or if you want to have a little bit of pain tolerance thing going forward, we can do that too. And Coleman is a competitor, and I think he wanted to play in these last handful of games. So I tip my cap to him on that. He didn't play well Saturday, to be honest. But that first game when he played just a few seconds short of 35 minutes on that leg, I mean, that says a lot, I think. And the depth is a problem in the front court for a lot of different reasons, but K-State hasn't gotten what they thought they would get this year out of Ugo Anyanso, and probably be fair to say Buddy Rich and that kind of thing. So it is significant when you have that type of an injury to, you know, one of your lead guys, without question.
So if it's, you know, Hawkins may be hobbled, and it's not, they don't lean on him totally in offense, mm-hmm. I suppose, but It you know, Doug McDaniel needs to get back to that stretch of great basketball that we saw. I think, right? Is he the guy who needs to sort of relight the fire? Is it somebody else? I only say him because I think Gasson's going to be, you know, consistent as he's been all year. If Hawkins is limited, we need to get a little more out of Dell. He went 10, 10, 13, 14 his last four games. I think we need to see that up closer to 20, or am I off there?
No, I think that's probably accurate, but here's the thing. I will stress this because I think it is absolutely true. In the last handful of games, I think Doug has played well, but he hasn't shot well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has had really pretty good assist to turnover games. I think he's been a good decision maker and playing with a lot of energy on both ends of the floor. I don't think Coach has really much of a problem with his game other than making shots. And you know, to be honest, looking at what he did on Saturday, you know, he goes 3 of 11, 1 of 5, but makes 7 of 8 free throws. They just need more out of him if they're going to get a little bit less from Coleman. And I think I go back to the settling for the threes and playing, you know, with just some serious passion. When they do that and they're moving and getting paint touches and kickouts, that's when they hurt people with threes, as opposed to getting down on the shot clock and just having to throw up a 22, 23 footer. That's probably true with everybody, but it certainly is absolutely factual with this bunch. They've just got to be better offensively, no question about it. I think their effort on the defensive end has been okay.
Where in the world, Wyatt, would this team be without David Gasson? And I'm not sure that, you know, of course, all the attention is always going to be on the newcomers and, you know, all of that this season. But he's been so consistent, especially down the stretch for Kansas State. I mean, like, they've needed him and he's been able to deliver.
You know, he made a comment in a little media gathering on Friday to lead into senior day on Saturday. And I think it caught some people by surprise when he said this has been a year that's been difficult when you're trying to learn 11 new faces. Most guys haven't gone there. but I think David has enough skin in the game now with 3 years here that he can say that. And probably everybody's going, yeah, I see it, right? It has been a challenging year from that perspective. And that's why I think you're seeing Coach Tang get a couple of commitments from high school players to try to build a foundation, try very, very hard with player retention after this season with this group of those that are available to come back. And then, knock on wood, hopefully Max Jones will be a part of that with another year. So then you have to replace Coleman and David and what have you. Those will be hard replacements, right? Both of those guys are probably going to be recognized in some way, shape, or form with, you know, second, third honorable mention type stuff with the Big 12. So work to do. But I just, at the end of the day, I appreciate David's honesty there because it has been tougher than I think all of us thought it was going to be.
It's been a revelation. All right, so let's envision the Cats here playing good basketball, right? I don't know. It's probably too much to ask for them to go back to what we saw in their stretch of great basketball, but who knows? But let's just assume they come with the energy. You talked about Arizona State. Right now, their path would go through, in that second game, it would go through Baylor, as you mentioned, and then it would go through Tech, and then potentially KU. They avoid Houston. So, you know, what do you think the... It's a good draw, isn't it? Like, it's as draws go in this league, like, you kind of like this one. How's the team feeling about their chip? Like, it's really unfortunate to have that kind of loss on senior day because I don't think you get a true feel for what the team's, you know, thinking, at least going in. But what do you think they're thinking? Do you think they've got the right attitude and the right mindset as much as we've talked the X's and O's? But this is a team that started so slow and everything was a mess. And then it got all put together correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That mental part of it, do you think they're where they need to be there?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. That's the hardest part with this group. I have seen them be cut in and be really, really good. I've seen them where they were Saturday, where I felt like they wanted to play well. They wanted to go out on a good note at home, but I just didn't think that they had the same energy level that they needed, and they get behind early. And, you know, there's just such a big hill to climb against a top 10 team. And I think Iowa State is that, even through their ups. And I mean, they're still 23-8. I mean, right. They've had a few games here lately, but it's the Big 12. And it's difficult, but I don't know how to answer that, because I think either is on the table here, Jacob, if I'm being honest. I wish I were smart enough and good enough to know what we are going to get tomorrow night, because I really don't know. I'm hopeful, though, with, you know, it's close enough. There'll be a lot of Kansas City area K-Staters there. That'll help. Maybe they'll get off the deck early and get to sizzling again. Who knows? Hard to figure this team.
Really quick, Wyatt, K-State women's basketball fell in the quarterfinal over the weekend against West Virginia. Aoka Lee is expected back for the NCAA tournament. You know, but obviously that's been kind of an ongoing injury and that she's been dealing with for quite a while. I think the big question remains right now, are they going to get selected as a host team for the NCAA tournament? What do you think the ceiling is for this team? I mean, I know a lot of it's going to be dependent on Aoka Lee and her health going into the NCAA tournament, but is this a team that we could potentially see make a deep run, or do you think that they're limited?
Well, I'd be kidding you if I didn't say, yeah, they can and they're capable, because I do think they are. Whether they have a full Aoka Lee or not, it's probably a little bit of a stretch to think she's going to be going from where she was, you know, late season and their short run in the tournament, you know, to a 32-minute a game player in postseason. That's probably expecting a little bit much. But we saw Kennedy Taylor play really well in that game against West Virginia. That was a high-level game, guys, and West Virginia's good. They just had a player at the end of the game that made a couple of plays. That Quinterly girl has hurt K-State before, right? And I would tell you the top of the Big 12 women's conference is really, really good. TCU, Baylor, West Virginia, K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. I mean, they're all darn good teams. I think it's just so close as to whether they will host or not. I mean, you look at some of the projections, a lot of them are in that five area now where they need to be four. And that's why I think if they could have gotten the West Virginia game, I really think they probably would have hosted. But that's just my opinion, and I'm pretty biased. It's going to be razor tight. But you know, even if they are a five and they have to go, I think they're capable. Because if Kennedy plays like she did in the tournament, you've still got, you know, a lot of quality players. But it's about matchups and doing it when you have to do it. And that's what makes the NCAA tournament great from my perspective. No gimmies out there, boy. You don't get protected and you get to the big dance.
Yeah, and we hope Aoka Lee can play with a boot on the other foot, I think, before the last game. But the thought is she's still going to try to go. So, I don't know how much they'll be able to. It's too bad, right? Coleman Hawkins and Aoka Lee both dealing with significant injuries, going right into the most important games. But we'll see. All right, Wyatt. So we've got basketball. The turn is quick tomorrow. Hey, at least the drive's not long. But 6 o'clock, or is it? Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
start
6 o'clock
against theirs, which means we'll have you at 5 here on KFH. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. I always love going to Kansas City for the tournament. They really do a great job there, and there's so much going on in the Power and Light, and it's really a great thing for fans, right? And for those programs like Arizona and Utah and some of those that are coming for the first time, I'm anxious to see what they think of it, just because they really prepare for it, and they take a lot of pride in what they do. And I've always enjoyed my runs there, and some have been better than others, of course. But I'm hoping that K-State can be there a couple, two or three days. We'll see. Knock
Hopefully
on wood.
All the Iowa State fans don't drink all the beer.
Yeah. Well, there's a legitimate chance of that, Jake.
They're going to try. They always do.
Rows, men and
they
women.
Do a good job. They work hard down there. All right, Wyatt, we appreciate it. We'll catch you on the air tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Appreciate you. Thanks.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Always appreciate his insight here on Sports Daily. Locked in, of course, as he calls all of them, K-State's chances Have you been to the Big 12 tournament, Tommy?
I've never been to the Big 12 tournament. I'd love to. I never have.
It's one of my absolute favorite events. I mean, it is. It is absolutely one of my favorite events. First time I go, though, it's late. Yeah, this was a decade ago. I don't remember which team, KU or K-State's playing the late game. So you finish up late, all your work's done. It's, you know, probably midnight, 1 a.m. Just kind of walking around Power and Light. This first time been Power and Light, everything. And I make like a wrong turn and I end up on the backside of like all the bars and stuff. And I don't know how to explain it other than like, just, it was a mountain of empty kegs. Like it was just like a mountain high, it looked like. And so then I go in and it's 90% Iowa State fans still going strong. Let's continue to talk a little college hoops as we are in conference tournament week. There's a ton of NFL news, I know, and we will cover it all. Tons of it pertain to the Chiefs. We'll see if we even get the opportunity to go through some of the other NFL news, but we'll at least cover what's been happening with the Chiefs because it's been a ton on and off the field. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's continue college basketball here, Tommy. Let's continue in the Big 12 in KU, and then we'll get to the Shockers. But look, you and I have talked as much as people can talk about KU, about how realistic their chance to do anything in the postseason is. I think peak panic mode was after the Utah trip. And then it just sort of has settled in after that, right? To the expected, I would say. We asked, you know, what would it take? They went 3-2. We sort of thought they'd go 3-2. At least I did, or better. Maybe you didn't think they were going to be able to beat Tech, Houston, or Arizona. They have a very impressive senior day against Arizona. They're still, that's the first win against a good team. Boy, they've had since Iowa State on February 3rd.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. It had been a long time. I think I've probably been a little bit more bullish on their tournament chances. I'm curious if Saturday did anything to lean you back that way, because that's the path for them. What they did Saturday is the path for them.
Yeah, it did. It honestly did. I mean, I'm not like, you know, overly like crazy optimistic about what they can do, but it wasn't just the fact that they beat Arizona. It was the way in which they did it. And, you know, Hunter Dickinson had a phenomenal game. He's had really good games recently, and he has looked like an All-American. He's looked like the MVP of the team.
He's looked an All-American. Yeah, there's no question.
But I'm telling you, he looks the part. He's looked the part, you know, recently for sure. He looks like, you know, the Big 12 Player of the Year out there. 33 points, that's the most points he's scored in a Kansas jersey. He matched that one time when he was with Michigan. But it wasn't just the fact that he scored 33 points. It was the fact that he was 8-for-9 from the field, and so incredibly efficient. When he touched the basketball, he was scoring. So that was big. And it wasn't just not just that he was getting shots at the rim, and he was attacking inside for sure. But he was able to do, you know, a little bit outside of that as well, outside of just the paint. KJ Adams had a really good game as well. He was 5-for-7 as well in the first half. So, and Dickinson's 8-for-9 was in the first half. So like those guys, they got it done, and Zeke Mayo was able to make some shots when he's been struggling recently as well. So all those things fit together and made it a really good effort from the starters. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say that I feel better about their chances, not only this week in Kansas City, but also when they end up in the NCAA tournament next week.
It was good to see them play good offense, right? Because they didn't play good defense in the second half. And so, you know, that's sort of been a recipe for them, right? Just like out of this world defense in one half, and then in the other, it kind of falls apart. Well, that did happen in this game. The good thing is their offense was good enough to make up for it. We haven't seen that much. Can that offense travel? I don't know. I'm leery of that. So for me, it's like they cannot have those halves where they don't play as well defensively. We've seen it a million times this year. They have to lock people down for two halves of basketball.
They only did it for the first half. Like they weren't able to do that in the second half.
Right. That's what I mean. Like that's why it was nice to see their offense make up for another half of basketball in which they didn't play nearly as high level of defense as they did in the other. I think, you know, as we look to the tournament in these games, like, they have to lock people down for two halves. Cannot have that let up at all. And look, Arizona and Caleb Love had a lot to do with that. I get it. But they're going to play a lot of great offenses from here on out. So you just can't have that let up. I don't know that the offense is going to translate on the road. We haven't seen it translate on the road. I'm not going to count on it. I mean, if they get lucky, great. And when I say lucky, I mean, they actually hit some three-pointers. Great. If they hit a bunch of threes, nobody's going to beat them. But they don't do that. So I don't want to count on that. What you can count on is high-level defense, and they must do that for two halves of basketball in the postseason, you know, this week, whatever. But certainly in the NCAA tournament. But yes, I like this team far more than I liked last year's team. I just do have all year. They certainly have the ability to let you down. There's no question about it. Now they have to take it on the road and beat good teams, or at least on neutral courts the rest of the way and beat good teams. I loved seeing that from Hunter Dickinson on senior day. Hunter Dickinson's been much maligned this year, not just from me, because I've had, you know, problems since the beginning of the year with how it all fit together. But he is an all. You said he might be. He's an All-American. I mean, he's been
playing like an All-American the last few games, and he is. There were some games where he didn't. I know, but my point, I'm not saying that, you know, oh, it's surprising that all of a sudden he's playing like an All-American. I'm saying, like, he absolutely showed over the weekend against Arizona that he is an All-American. If I made it sound like I was questioning whether or not
he's an All-American. No, you're not. I'm just saying, like, he's going to be an All-American. That's not what I meant. Like, but it's, that's been the case all year, even before Saturday. That's not what people's had a problem with, though. It's just, it's the fit of everything. And I think his game so much is predicated on who they're playing. If you get him a good matchup, he's got like the Tim Duncan effect. Like, he's automatic down there. If he's able to get his position down low, you're not stopping him at all. And so that's a matchup thing, I think, for KU. He's very much a matchup thing for KU. For teams that are able to take him away, I think that's where it gets really interesting for KU. They've had a lot of games lately where Dickinson and KJ Adams have been leading the way offensively. I don't know how much that's going to work in the postseason. I mean, I hope it does, because then KU's chances are great. I still do think they're going to have a guard in each game step up and hit shots. I don't care which one it is. It could be Coit, it could be Mayo, it might even could be Harris in a spot chance. Maybe it's Griffin. I don't care who it is. I don't think, though, they can live and die through Dickinson and KJ Adams once we get into I'm not talking about the Big 12 this week, but once we get into the NCAA tournament, I don't think you can live and die that way.
I think you can, but it's all going to be predicated on what you do on the other end of the court.
Right.
If you live and die by Dickinson and Adams, that's fine. If those guys are efficient and they're effective in the post, that's fine. But you can't give up 57% from three in the second half against Arizona. Like, that's what they did in the second half. And Arizona is not a good three-point shooting team. But they made them look like a great three-point shooting team in the second half on Saturday. If you go up against a team that is equal or better shooting the three in the NCAA tournament, and there's going to be a lot of teams in your draw potentially that are going to be able to do that, and you give them space defensively to get those threes off throughout an entire game or even just in one half, then it's going to be an early exit for the Jayhawks in the NCAA tournament. So you can absolutely run that offense through Hunter Dickinson and through KJ Adams, and then cross your fingers and hope that Zeke Mayo or somebody else can hit a couple of threes to take care of that. That's fine, and that could work for the Jayhawks, but you have to play lockdown defense on the other end, and you can't allow your opponent to get off a bunch of threes, because if you're going to combat made threes with twos in the paint, you're going to lose every single time.
Well, yeah, made threes. And look, that we all fear, right, the matchups. I've seen, and well, the brackets might have them playing like Alabama, and you're like, no. Play somebody else. Like, play Tennessee, right? Get into that regional, because that's what you don't want, right? You don't want a team that can come out and shoot it. You want that, because that, just like last year, in sort of the same way, that's going to be the problem. But again, lock it down defensively, and it doesn't matter. And the other thing is, Bill Self played his seniors a lot yesterday. So I don't even know how much we take away from the rotation. It was senior day. He just played his seniors. Maybe that's
what's doing the NCAA. Yeah, you didn't see it. I think there were two bench points total in the game, and that was two from Badunga. Other than that, like, it was all the starters.
He let his old guys eat on senior day because he's Bill Self and that's what you do. All right, let's look at bracketology here for just a second. Austin asks, with the way they've been up and down, is there a shot they get into the Wichita Regional, or what would need to happen for that to happen? They'd have to get lucky, Austin. I will say, though, it's very slim but possible, because it looks like Houston and Tech will come to Wichita. Some combination. Let me start that over. It looks like some combination of Houston, Tech, and Texas A&M, like two of those three, will likely come to Wichita. If Houston's a one seed, which is what you hope for right now, you hope Houston stays on the one line, and then Tech or Texas A&M stays on a two line, and then you get two of those in Wichita. Why do we hope that? Well, because right now, KU is on the brackets looking like a 7 or an 8 seed. Okay, 7s and 8s end up in the same regions as 1s and 2s. So if it's Houston, Tech, or Texas A&M that end up in Wichita, that leaves open the door for some outside stroke of luck, or maybe stroke of attendance draw or money-making, that the NCAA would gift KU a 7 or 8 seed, and everyone will, you know, raise their hands and be upset about it and all those things. But we'd love it here, right? Like, that lucky draw. I don't think it will happen, but as far as seed lines, if it ends up that way, if they stay as a 7 or an 8, I mean, you almost don't want them to play up to a 6, right? If you want them to come to Wichita, you just want them to kind of stay in that 7 to 8 range. And then you want Houston, Tech, or Texas A&M to end up as the 1 and 2. And that would be the path to answer Austin's question. Highly unlikely, though, the NCAA would gift them that.
Yeah, both ESPN and CBS Sports right now have Kansas as a 7 seed. The opponents are different. ESPN, Joe Lenardi, has them taking on Arkansas, the 10 seed there, and Calipari. That would be an interesting matchup. And then the winner of that game would face either Alabama or the 15 seed, if 15 can, you know, upset Alabama. And then Jerry Palm with CBS Sports has them again as the 7 seed, taking on Indiana as the 10. The winner of that matchup they've got right now is Tennessee, and then the 15 seed if the 15 can upset Tennessee. USA Today has not updated their bracketology since Friday, so we don't know, you know, where things stand after the game on Saturday. But their last projection had Kansas as an 8 seed, taking on Vanderbilt as the number 9. So, you know, I'm sure that they'll update it here shortly, and we'll probably see them, I would think, move up to that 7 line. It's kind of a, at least right now, consensus that, you know, they're at a 7 right now. I don't know what it will take in the Big 12 tournament to get them bumped up to the 6 line, or if they're kind of locked in that 7 range.
Oh, a run would bump them up, I think. But
wins they would need to get up to that 6.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. All right, we'll talk Shockers when we come back, and a ton of NFL news to get to. Another hour of Sports Daily right after this.